Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Myth of Sisyphus is Albert Camus' classic essay-length work of philosophy that frames one central problem as the starting point for all serious thinking, whether life is worth living. Written in the shadow of modern disillusionment and political upheaval, the book develops Camus' idea of the absurd, the clash between the human hunger for meaning and the world's indifferent silence. Rather than offering comfort through traditional metaphysics or religion, Camus investigates what it means to face this condition honestly. He examines temptation towards self-destruction, the lure of philosophical escape, and the possibility of living with full awareness without appealing to ultimate explanations. The text moves between rigorous argument and vivid cultural references, touching on literature, theater, and everyday experience to show how the absurd appears in ordinary life. Its concluding image, drawn from Greek myth, becomes a powerful emblem of human persistence and defiant clarity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the absurd as a clash between meaning and silence. Camus defines the absurd not as a property of the universe alone or of the person alone, but as a relationship. Humans naturally seek coherence, purpose, and a story that makes suffering intelligible. The world, however, does not provide definitive answers, and the more one demands ultimate clarity, the more one encounters a kind of silence. This tension produces the absurd feeling, often triggered by routine, fatigue, loss, or the sudden sense that familiar habits no longer justify themselves. Camus treats this experience as lucid rather than pathological. It is a moment when comforting assumptions fall away and a person recognizes the gap between desire and reality. Instead of trying to dissolve the gap with easy optimism, he asks what follows from keeping the gap in view. This sets the groundwork for his ethics. If meaning is not guaranteed by the structure of the world, the task becomes to decide how to live without pretending that certainty exists. In this way, the absurd is both a diagnosis of the human condition and a doorway into a more deliberate, awake way of living. Secondly, suicide and the question of whether life is worth living. Camus opens by treating suicide as the most urgent philosophical question because it is the practical verdict one might deliver on life's value. If existence lacks ultimate meaning, one might conclude that ending life is logical. Camus challenges that conclusion by separating the recognition of meaninglessness from the decision to die. For him, suicide eliminates the very consciousness that makes the absurd visible, and it turns a problem to be lived with into an exit. He also distinguishes physical suicide from subtler forms of self-erasure, such as living mechanically, surrendering agency, or adopting beliefs primarily to avoid discomfort. The heart of his inquiry is not moral condemnation, but clarity. What does it mean to face the absurd without flinching? By pushing the issue to its extreme, he forces readers to examine the assumptions behind their choices, including the ways people justify endurance. The result is a framework in which continuing to live is not a passive default but an active stance, chosen in full awareness of uncertainty and limits. Thirdly, philosophical suicide and the temptation of false transcendence. Beyond the literal act of suicide, Camus criticizes what he calls philosophical suicide, a move in which thinkers acknowledge the world's lack of final meaning but then leap into a consoling certainty that restores metaphysical comfort. This can take the form of religious faith, absolute ideals, or systems that claim access to a higher purpose that reconciles contradictions. Camus argues that such leaps betray the initial honesty of the absurd insight by replacing unanswered questions with total explanations. His target is not spirituality as personal practice, but the intellectual maneuver that closes inquiry prematurely. He examines how certain philosophies treat contradiction as a sign that reality points beyond itself, then use that beyond to justify hope as certainty. Camus insists that integrity means refusing to smuggle in guarantees. The alternative he proposes is to remain within the tension, to accept that reason has limits, that longing persists, and that no final reconciliation is available. This refusal becomes a kind of discipline, protecting the mind from comforting narratives that reduce complexity. Living without appeal is, for Camus, a demanding form of fidelity to experience. Fourthly, revolt, freedom, and passion as responses to the absurd. If the absurd cannot be resolved, Camus asks what stance can replace resignation. His answer is revolt, a continuous refusal to submit either to despair or to false hope. Revolt is not a single dramatic act, but a sustained attitude of lucid defiance, saying yes to life's immediacy while saying no to the demand for ultimate justification. From revolt follows a distinctive idea of freedom. When absolute meaning is not given, many conventional constraints lose their authority, and a person can choose values and actions with greater responsibility. Yet Camus' freedom is not limitless fantasy. It remains bounded by mortality and by the consequences of choices. He pairs freedom with passion, urging an intensified engagement with experience, relationships, work, and art. The aim is not to accumulate pleasures mindlessly, but to live fully with infinitude, recognizing time as scarce and therefore precious. In this ethic, the measure of a life becomes the richness of lived moments and the courage to remain conscious. Rather than promising redemption, Camus offers a way to inhabit reality with vigor and honesty. Lastly, Sisyphus as a symbol of meaning made through endurance, the culminating image of Sisyphus, condemned to push a boulder up a mountain only for it to roll down again, gives the book its enduring power. Camus treats the myth as an emblem of repetitive labor, unending struggle, and the apparent futility many people sense in daily life. The crucial moment is not the pushing alone, but the descent, when Sisyphus becomes conscious of his fate. In that lucid interval, Camus finds the possibility of victory. If Sisyphus sees the truth of his condition and refuses to seek escape through illusion, the punishment cannot fully dominate him. The boulder remains, but meaning is no longer dictated by an external judge. Camus suggests that dignity arises from owning one's situation and continuing anyway, transforming necessity into a chosen stance. The myth becomes a meditation on work, suffering, and persistence, arguing that human greatness lies less in achieving final solutions than in sustaining awareness and effort. This interpretation does not romanticize hardship. It proposes that clarity and resistance can create a form of inner freedom, even in constrained circumstances. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel unsettled by easy answers, students of philosophy, literature, and modern history, as well as anyone confronting grief, burnout, loss of faith, or the quiet sense that routines no longer add up. Camus does not provide a self-help formula, but he offers something many comparable books avoid, an honest confrontation with meaninglessness that still protects the value of living. The benefit is practical as much as intellectual. By naming the absurd and distinguishing it from despair, the book can help readers recognize when they are tempted by numbing habits or by beliefs adopted mainly to avoid anxiety. Camus invites a life of lucid commitment, choosing what matters without claiming cosmic guarantees, embracing freedom while accepting limits, and meeting hardship with a steadier kind of courage. Compared with other existential works, The Myth of Sisyphus is worth buying because it balances argument with memorable images and cultural insight, and because it offers an ethic of revolt that is neither nihilistic nor sentimental. It leaves readers with a durable stance for modern life, clarity, refusal, and renewed engagement. If you would like to support Albert Camus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.